Now let's debate. Whew. This is our third quarterfinal debate. Our panel of judges remain the same. Ronald Asiebu, Adenike Arobonlo, Dr. Nduka Azuchi, and Chief Andy Oboforibo. Now let me introduce today's debaters. Our first debater is the runner-up from Group B. She is the champion from that March 2022 edition. She's now 15. She's graduated from secondary school. Ruth Okoracha, welcome to the Tournament of Champions.
Thank you.
Good to see you here. Lagos, here is our second debater. Our second debater qualified as the undefeated winner of Group C with 2 wins. He came third in the August 2022 edition. He's 16 years old and has now graduated from secondary school. Nicholas Musa Okoya, welcome to the Tournament of Champions.
Thank you, Ma.
Now, Lagos, the contestants have been told the rules, but here they are again. I will give you a topic. One of you will be in support and one of you will oppose. You will each first get 3 minutes to present your positions. Then you'll get another 3 minutes for rebuttals. Then you'll get another 3 minutes for closing. The rebuttal round is to address the points that your opponent made. Closing round, that's for your closing argument. The clock is the clock. Once it starts, I will not pause it until the 3 minutes are up. Our panel of judges will score both rounds based on number, quality, and originality of unique points made. If you repeat a point, your score will not increase. Clarity of thought and eloquence of presentation. If you want to win, that's very important. Another criteria, number of opponents' points addressed. That determines who wins or who goes home. The strength of your rebuttal of each point also determines who wins or who goes home. Like we say, like we know, we're now in the knockout stages. So if your scores are tied, there will be a tiebreaker round. You will switch sides. You'll have 5 minutes to debate in favor of your opponent's position. You'll be scored for all new points that you make, which were missed by your opponent, and for new rebuttals to the points that you made earlier. Both your topics, very interesting one. Sports and politics should be kept separate on the global stage. I loved picking this particular topic. Loved it so much. Sports and politics should be kept separate on the global stage. You know, we debated whether this topic should be a final topic or not because it's so good. So I'm very curious to hear what both of you do with it because you're both really fantastic debaters. Now let's decide who supports and who opposes. I've got a coin to decide this. It's got a tail. And it's got a head. It's got a tail. And it's got a head. Okay. All right. Now, Nicholas, as group winner, you will decide either heads or tails. If the coin lands on the one you choose, you'll support the motion. If it lands on the other side, you'll oppose the motion. Ready? Call it.
Tails.
Heads it is. So Nicholas Musa Okoya will oppose that sports and politics should be kept separate on the global stage. And you will support that sports and politics should be kept separate on the global stage. We'll take a break. When we come back from this break, it'll be time for round one, the presentation round. Lagos, stay right there. And now we start round one, the presentation round. Let's start with the motion supporter and then we'll go to the motion opposer. Ruth, your 3 minutes.
Good afternoon, moderator, adjudicators, my opponent, attentive listeners and viewers. I'm Ruth Okoracha, affirming the resolution, sports and politics should be kept separate on the global stage. Operation on the global stage is already intense, so why provide an extra tool to facilitate this? This is what happens when we don't set boundaries between sports and politics. Powerful countries would exert a form of cultural imperialism on the weaker countries through the sale of sporting equipment and provision of training facilities. As seen in China's $132 million investment of cricket facilities in the West Indies, and this was done with a motive to win over countries that still consider Taiwan as an independent state. Additionally, leaders to be used as to play sneaky politics by non-prestigious but merely ambitious leaders who just want to get themselves popular. After France had won the 1998 World Cup, the then president would send them on different tasks, the guise of promoting and celebrating the cultural diversity of France. But meanwhile, his personal popularity was growing on the global stage, which eased sources of the team, also distracting people from discussing deep-rooted issues of integration, racism, and poverty. Not to forget that globalization means unity, and this is something that sports helps to promote. People are willing to travel to different realms of the globe, to different countries, without considering the history of that country or whatever relationship it has with their own country. Sports build bridges that politics breaks. Some people say that we need to bring sports into politics, but the thing is that it fuels nationalism and also animosity because it disrupts peace and leads to dangerous wars. The fact is, we've seen countries go to actual wars because of political involvement in sports. During the World Cup qualifier between Salvador and Honduras, after the former won by 3-2, it sparked a violence that led to 100 hours of war, clarifying that political involvement in a neutral activity like sports could drive national pride to the point of war. It can also be used to create a false sense of reality while the real issues keep blurring the faces of those that suffer them. When Syria was only a goal away from qualifying for the World Cup, debates were raised as to if they should actually be qualified because their coaches then were a supporter of the dreaded Al-Assad regime. Now, when people see that the players are playing in unity, it creates a false sense of peace and unity to a country that is very much divided. Some say that we need to bring politics into sport in order to discuss political issues of socialism, of racism and sexism. But in reality, the guys calling the shots would only mix sports and politics when they have to benefit from it. Otherwise, they'll claim to be neutral, and we don't need these double standards, which is why we need to keep sports and politics 6 feet away from each other. Not forgetting that sports include athletes, and these athletes are not utilities but human beings. Most times, because of the kind of influence that they hold on the world's global stage, their countries would force them to say things or do things that are against their wish in the name of promoting national interests on the global stage, which is a clear violation of the fundamental human rights. Lastly, is that athletes and their sponsors, do you make use of this thing in order to promote their businesses? These athletes make use of their fame and recognition on the global stage to benefit their sponsors. That is why, and they take the trappings of rebellion and strip it of its content in the name of promoting political ideologies. That is why sports ambassadors for Nike were quick to call America racist, but would not say anything about China's egregious treatment of its minorities or suppression of freedom in Hong Kong, because Nike has a larger market in China than the United States. Lastly, is that for most people, sports is an escape from these real-life situations, and they need an escape. They need to breathe. Psychology shows that when we take this kind of breaks, it's good for our mental health, to watch you then bring politics into sports. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ruth Okorocha, champion from March 2021. Fantastic. All right, Lagos, let me remind you, we're streaming this live. Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3. YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Nicholas Musokoya, your 3 minutes to oppose starts now.
Do you want to know what will happen to sport if it's separated from politics? Then cut off the branch of a tree and watch as it slowly dehydrates and dies. Good day, moderator, bench of dignified judges. My time data keeper, essential debater, reputable sponsors, viewers, at national man abroad. I am Mr. Nicholas of Prestigious Foreign College. So I'm here to vehemently oppose the motion that says sports and politics should be kept separate on the global stage, with these following points of mine. Firstly, denial of exhibition. Most sports are exhibited through political events, for example, the Commonwealth Games. So separation will reduce viewing opportunities. Secondly, embodiment. Yes, there is embodiment because the origin of sport itself was in politics through athletic people and athletic sponsorship being promoted in Greece, for example. So therefore, why should we separate them? Thirdly, human rights. These athletes are people with political views and rights to free will and expression. Shutting them down politically would be reducing them to performing monkeys. Leading me to my next point now, political barriers. Sports break political barriers. For example, Muhammad Ali broke the barrier of racism through the use of sport. So separating them would have no use for the political barriers and would keep them to be unbroken. I will keep them there and to be stable continuously in that particular way. More to that, it also helps because of the leadership potential. Yes, people like George Weah, for example, was president of Liberia, also was a footballer. So people and countless sportsmen who have continued to be politicians and do well as political figures have been encouraged because of this sport and politics being together, so they must not be separated. More to that, it has also helped because it has also helped to curb political apathy. Yes, President Barack Obama was being endorsed by Michael Jordan, for example, because of the professional basketball player endorsed him. It has helped to encourage encourage political voting and helped to reduce political apathy, so we shouldn't separate it. In addition to that, wastage of soft power. The Nigeria Civil War halted because Brazilian players sought to play a friendly match with them. So reducing politics from sports would be bringing wasted to the magic of this war, silencing magic of sports. Leading me to my next point now, it has also helped to reduce accountability. FIFA was able to sanction Russia because of their invasion of Ukraine for playing in the 2022 Olympics, and because of this sanction, it has helped politics politics and sports to continue going together. So saying that politics and sports should not be together is false. More to that, my opponents to that, another point is that it has helped because of its connection, emotional attachment. People like Colin Kaepernick develop an emotional connection with the fans because of this politics and sports, so it should not be separated. More so, it has also helped because of its policy disorder. Yes, policy disorder has destroyed sports and destroyed sports, but politics will help to solve policy disorder and bring policies like Olympic legacy policies. In addition to that, reference for development. According to IOC and the World Development and World Governance 2020, he says that political developed countries do well in sports and won more medals. So why would politics be separated from sport when it's a clear reference for development? In addition to that, it also helps because it has helped to promote equal representation. Where the quality of equality of politics is brought into sports, everybody will be equally represented, as we have seen between United States and Iran being equally represented in various teams. And more so, it has also helped because of its priority. Everyone was a citizen first and a sportsman second. Saying politics and sports should not be together is as good as treason. In addition to that, its politics and sports being separate will not be good because of cultural reinforcement. Various national anthems, various flags, and various languages are being reinforced because of politics in sports, and therefore it shows signals that politics will be able to be compatible with sports and should not be separated at the global stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nicholas Musa Okoya. What an opening. Nicholas is the undefeated winner of Group C with 2 wins. He came third in the August 2022 edition. We'll take a break. When we come back, it'll be time for rebuttal. This is the quarterfinal stage of Nigeria Info's Tournament of Champions for the I Beg to Debate Tournament. I'm Sandra Isaac, moderator. Don't go away. Nicholas, you've got 3 minutes in rebuttals, and it starts now.
Thank you, Honorable Moderator, for this opportunity to make some refutals to the points my opponents made. But let me start by saying this. President Barack Obama, the President of the United States, said that politics is a contact sport. End of quote. Politics is a contact sport. The fact that politics itself is a particular type of sport makes it compatible with sports, and it would not be a great idea to separate them, especially on the global stage. Now, without any further ado, I relay my opponent's point. Firstly, my opponent said that we don't need a tool to facilitate politics, but we need this tool. We need this tool to facilitate sports, and that tool is politics. Political development, especially in sports, will bring unity in different faces and different levels and different walks of life. Secondly, my opponent said cultural imperialism, but it's not a form of cultural imperialism. It's a form of assistance, promoting the help in sporting activities. In sporting activities nowadays, is not being reconciled and not being reconsidered, especially in the minds of people nowadays. But politics will help to promote and impact that sporting activity, and help to even impact and make sure that there is assistance provided to the sportsmen and sportswomen. More to that, my opponent said that it promotes unity. Well, political involvement would make sure that unity is facilitated. If political involvement is in sports, for example, people will be able to understand each other better. People will be able to know themselves, and therefore people will be able to fight against racism, gender inequality, and the likes. More to that, my opponent said animosity. Well, the bridges and the connection between North Korea and South Korea, for example, have been continued to be reinforced and continue to be strengthened because of this politics in sports. Promotion of politics in sports will make sure that it will lead to connection between erring countries, make sure that countries are being promoted for the better. More to that, my opponent said a false sense of reality. Well, removing politics from sports is the false sense of reality, because we cannot be encouraging this false sense of reality, because even from the basis itself, sports and politics were already together from the beginning. Because how can people say they want to play in Nigeria and go and play in abroad if there is no Nigeria and if there's no political synonymity inside in Nigeria? It cannot happen. Most of that, my opponent said they are human beings. Well, since they are human beings, let them be able to exercise their political views. For example, Colin Kaepernick should be able to exercise his political view. So there should not be any separation between politics and sports, so that people like Colin Kaepernick taking a knee bow because of the Black Lives Matter movement would be able to be encouraged. More so, my opponent said it promotes business and business opportunities. Well, the fact that we have politics in sports, that we have this universal synonymity, is the profit itself. I don't need any other profit, even in politics and sports. More so that, my opponent said that is a means of escape. Well, since it is a means of escape, does that solve the problem? It does not solve the problem. The fact that it's a means of escape doesn't mean it solves the problem. For example, according to ESPN, there have been 131 acts of racism committed in 2019. 2019. So the fact that it's an escape route does not mean that it solved the problem. The problem will be faced squarely and will be faced dearly because of the politics in sport. In addition to that, my opponent said that it promotes personal popularity. It doesn't promote any personal popularity. Politics in sport help to promote unity and help to promote synonymity between the people, players, and the fans at the global stage, which can help to be able to combat societal improprieties. Thank you.
Thank you very much, and well done, Nicholas Musa Okoya. It's now time for his opponent, Ruth Okorocha. You've got 3 minutes. It starts now.
Well, you mentioned that human rights, so you're forcing them to, you say that is against their human rights. Well, what about forcing them to say things that they do not want to do? Like I mentioned earlier, my point, things they are not, they don't want to say, they are not, probably because they have to say things that their government really should do to promote their national interests on the global scene. That is against their own wish. This is the real violation of human rights. And you said leadership potential, president of Liberia. Well, the topic says on the global stage, not Liberia. And you also said political party. Well, there's no way that it promotes, make people more involved in politics, because politics is something that people get lots of headache from. And involving it in sports that they have to pay money from because they want to have a break will not make them to be more involved in politics. And you gave an example with the USA. Once again, this is not about America. We're talking about the globe here. Then you also said soft power. Well, most times in like during the war that Russia is having with Ukraine, since 2019, it's been banned from the Olympics, but yet they are still fighting. They've not stopped fighting. So if it's effective, why haven't they stopped fighting? And you said accountability about Russia. Well, in London, for example, London, they were awarded in 2012 Olympics, and this was why they were involved in an illegal war against Iraq. Why wasn't there a call for boycotts? Why wasn't there protest? But when it comes to Russia, they suddenly are boycotted. These are two, like I mentioned earlier, these are double standards that we do not need, and they have hidden agendas for this project, and that's why we need to separate sports and politics. And you also say emotional attention between athletes and fans. Come on, we're talking about politics and sports, not athletes and their fans. And you said policy disorder, and so why would you give policy through sporting activities? There are other mediums can give policies in your countries. Why come to sports in the arena where people want to have their break to give policies? And you also say reference to development and so on. You also mentioned it. You also mentioned that it's treason. How does sports is a game and politics is about ruling? How does involving, not saying we should not involve them together, how is this an act of treason? You also mentioned that the national anthems, reciting the national anthem in sporting activities is not politics. It's just to show that, okay, this club is playing for this because they're representing their country. So you have to see our national anthem just like in different other activities. Then you also say that I never say that we don't need a tool to facilitate sports, and politics is not a tool to facilitate sports. In fact, over 70% of the globe are interested in politics, so in sports. So how is involving politics in it going to make them more interested in sports? And you say unity, that it brings about unity. People flame up when they have to discuss about politics. When they're discussing about Arsenal or Chelsea, they don't fight that much. When you talk about, okay, my president and your president, you see that there are lots of disputes that are existing among them. I also mentioned that sports have helped to bring North Korea and South Korea together. Well, the relationship between North Korea and South Korea is still as tense as ever. The so-called boycotts, whatever, has not made them to be more at peace with each other. And you mentioned that from the beginning, politics and sports have been together. Well, that is why this topic is existing, so that we can talk about a separation, because it's not doing us any good. And you mentioned that taking a knee and so on, we can take the protest to the street. Why bring a protest to an activity that is just lasting for 2 hours, where people just want to have a break from real-life situations? And then you said it doesn't solve the problem. Well, you mentioned that taking a break from rest, from serious issues of politics, doesn't solve the problem. Well, involving it doesn't solve the problem either. It's just like someone is watching a Netflix movie and then you're showing an ad that they are not interested in. That's how it is when you involve politics in sports. And you said it doesn't promote personal popularity. Well, I gave you an example with the president of France. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well done, Ruth Okorocha, our champion from March 2022. We're done with round two. Sports and politics should be kept separate on the global stage. Let me remind you, Lagos, we're streaming this live on Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll hear more from our debaters. It's now time for the closing round. We'll start with the motion supporter this time, Ruth Okorocha. Your 3 minutes to close, win or go home, starts now.
Thank you very much. The hypocrisy that exists between in political movement in sports needs an urgent call for separation. Because, take for example, in 2012, London was awarded the Olympics. This is why they were involved in an illegal war against Iraq. There were no protests, there were no call for boycotts. Russia invaded Ukraine. The US invaded Iraq. Russia was banned from the World Cup. The US is set to hold the next World Cup in 2026. This is clear hypocrisy. And also, so-called activism about discussing issues about racism and so on, most times really complicated and used as propaganda by for these countries on the global scene. Because someone might just come up on social media and say, okay, let's boycott this or boycott that, and suddenly there's a campaign. People are already taking a position to something that they've not really thought about. If we don't separate sports and politics, we'll have more situation about like Adolf Hitler, what he made use of the Olympics as a guide and as a shade to cover up the horrible things he was doing with the Nazi situation in Germany. Why people are cheering, thinking that everything is okay. This also increases political tension because at most, and this leads to a serious situation and serious violent situations. An example is during the Olympics that happened in between the Soviet Union and Hungary, where one of the Evren Zadar was stabbed in the head by one of his Soviet Union opponents, and after this was called the blood and water match because of this. This was because of political involvement in sports. And why should you give the responsibility of promoting politics on the global scene to these athletes? Athletes have their role to play games and win games and entertain us, and politicians have the games to lead us in and do things about politics. Why should you bring these two things together? Involving politics in sports is like taking a faulty car to a doctor for repair. And lastly, is that countries already tense relationship. If you involve politics in sports, it also helps to increase this tension among them. Most times, these sports athletes don't understand politics. In politics, there's some things that you're not meant to say. You're supposed to say it in some certain ways so that it doesn't spark up violence. Take, for example, the NBA, where they commented about the Hong Kong protests in China. And this upset China, and they had to block up the media carrying out of that, the media publicizing of that game in their state. Now, if the NBA had not responded quickly and had to state an apology, they probably already broken the tense relationship between US and China. We all know that US and China, their relationship are already hanging on the thread, so why should we bring things that would diversify more? And also, you mentioned that, one of your points, trying to reverse my point, you mentioned that we need... Oh, where did I drop it? I'm coming. You mentioned that we needed to hold these countries accountable. How is involving politics in sports going to hold these countries accountable? Take Russia, for example. They've been cut off from sport. They've got the source to not be involved in World Cup and so on and Olympics. And yet they are still fighting Ukraine. They are still involved in these activities. It did not make them to stop whatever they were doing. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ruth Okorocha. Well done. Let me remind you, Lagos, we're streaming live, Facebook, Nigeria Info 99.3, YouTube, Nigeria Info FM. Nicholas Musa Okoya, 3 minutes to close, win or go home.
Thank you, Honorable Moderator, for this opportunity to maintain my stance on this existing viewpoint. But let me start by saying this. My opponent mentioned Adolf Hitler and exercising of ego using the Nazi superiority and using Berlin Olympics. But do you know that Adolf Hitler ego exercise or using sports for political reasons was curbed by Jesse Owens? Jesse Owens was a black American baseball player that helped to humble and bring down the shoulders of Adolf Hitler. And because of that black American involvement in politics and sports, it has helped to make sure that ego exercise is prevented. Now, without any further ado, I move on to my point. Politics and sports can help to enhance globalization. Sport is like a river that flows throughout the entire world. Now, if you put politics in that river, it will help to spread the message to the entire world. Secondly, politics and sports could improve international presence. Yes, because of politics and sports, some people who perform well in sports, some countries who perform well with sports will be able to be esteemed in politics too because of the involvement of politics and sports. Thirdly, separation from politics and sports will reject objectivity. Yes, it will reject objectivity. Politics and sports, politics is like a third party view for sports, but between politics and sports, we have to reject objectivity and we even grow into political tensions. More to that, it helps to reduce awareness. Yes, for example, the awareness of the gender inequality would be increased if sports and politics were together. But if they are separated, some political issues will be put in isolation. In addition to that, governmental abandonment. Yes, because of separation between politics and sports, governmental interests, for example, the Secretary General of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, attending the FIFA World Cup 2022, would not be there. More to that, it can help to promote wrong influence if you separate policy from sports. Yes, because if you turn a blind eye on whatever anybody doing political background and make sure that they come and play in sports, they will influence other people wrongly, they will influence other countries wrongly, and it will lead to chaos. In addition to that, peace building. Yes, politics and sports will help to promote peace. For example, in the realm of sports and in the realm of politics, in these places, there will be peace. Without further ado, I move on to the point my opponent made. Firstly, my opponent told me that politics and sports is not doing any good. But must I remind you that FIFA World Cup 2022 was watched by over 3.4 billion people, almost half of the world. So politics, this sport has been continuing to increase. And if you put politics into it, it will even gain a greater audience to impact more and more. Most that my opponent said that America is not a global stage. Liberia is not a global stage. But America, where is it? Is it in space? No, it is on the globe. Liberia is in space? No, it is on the globe. So it is promoted on a global stage because the globality does not have to have the synonymity, but you also have to have the connection between these two countries. Most that my opponent said when U.S. invaded Iraq. Yes, when U.S. invaded Iraq and they are allowed to play in the Olympics during the next year, it was not putting politics into sports. And because of that, you can see that it has caused a lot of political tensions between U.S. and Iraq now. Most that my opponent said that politics in sports will increase political tension. Well, Pakistan and India. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well done, Nicholas Musa Okoya. What a closing. How you feeling, Ruth? Okay, we'll take a break. Lagos, remember, don't add a criteria that we are not judging by. The criteria for judgment are number, quality, and originality of unique points made. We're not judging for diction. We're not judging for phonetics. Clarity of thought and eloquence of presentation. Clarity of thought shows understanding of the subject, not whether or not the debater is speeding through her points. Our judges can hear the debaters clearly. Number of opponents' points addressed, very important. The strength of your rebuttal of each point, also very important. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll find out if there's a clear winner or if there's a tie. If there's a tie, they'll switch sides. They'll debate the other side of the argument. They'll make new points because that's what will be scored. They'll make new rebuttals to their own original points because that's also the only thing that the judges will score. The rules for scoring are very clear, very concise, and they're the same every debate. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. Don't go away, Lagos. I'm Sandra Ezekwesili. You're listening to the Tournament of Champions. You just heard quarterfinal match 3 between Ruth Okorocha and Nicholas Musa Okoya. Ruth Okorocha is our champion from March 2022. Nicholas Musa Okoya is the undefeated winner of Group C in this Tournament of Champions, and he was also third place finisher from August 2022. The results are here and there's no tie. In the presentation round, Ruth Okorocha scored 106. Nicholas Musa Okoya scored 110. For presentation style, Ruth Okorocha scored 33. Nicholas Musa Okoya ties with Ruth at 33. In the rebuttal round, Ruth Okorocha scores 102. Nicholas Musa Okoya scores 42. For rebuttal style, Ruth Okorocha scores 31. Nicholas Musa Okoya scores 27. In the closing round, Ruth Okorocha scores 57. Nicholas Musa Okoya scores 53. For closing style, Ruth and Nicholas tie at 34. And so, with a total of 363 points to 299, Ruth Okorocha emerges as our third semi-finalist. Congratulations to you, Ruth, and well done. You just qualified for the semi-final next week, Tuesday. Tomorrow, you'll find out who your opponent will be when we hold the last quarter-final between Deborah Pamzat and Stephanie Ehi-Ame. And Nicholas Musa Okoye, you are such a phenomenal debater. You were such a delight. Thank you for taking part.
Thank you, Ma.
You did so well. You performed well, both in the group stage and today. And remember, there have been over 1,000 applicants for I Beg to Differ. Out of all of them, less than 80 have ever appeared on the show. And out of them, only 12 qualified for the Tournament of Champions. And out of that, only 8 got to the quarterfinals. So well done. That's your journey. You should be so proud.
Thank you, Ma.
Congratulations and well done to both of you. We've got tablets waiting for you downstairs. Leave. And we'll see you on Tuesday, Ruth.